I see you this morning and exalt you, Lord, bless you and grant you
much joy for coming in. Please open your Bibles at Romans and the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. Please continue to be much in prayer regarding the meeting. Get as often as you can and encourage others to come along with you. When I look at the clouds this morning as I'm coming along, I wondered if there were clouds of real spiritual revival and blessing was going to fall upon us. We just trust that's really going to be so. And I was also reminded of a story told by Leighton Ford. Leighton says there are three almost impossible things to do. The first thing is to climb a fence when it's leaning toward you. The second thing, to kiss a girl when she's leaning away from you. And the third thing is to get people up to meetings in rainy weather. He said, I've had no experience whatever of trying to climb a fence, leaning toward me, but I've had a terrific lot of experience trying to get people up to meetings on a wet night. Got it? Yeah, that's right. Romans 8, verse number 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now go across to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians and the 4th chapter. We've been thinking a lot about this particular chapter during these days. Galatians 4, please. And we're going to read in at verse number 6. Verse number 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, a Father. Now there we have the assurance of sonship. The Spirit of the Son within our heart cries, Abba, Father. Now verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, isn't that lovely? We've been dealing with the fact that Christian is a child of God. Now, this morning, the Christian is an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Now, we become heirs because we are children. We've been born into the family, and because we're in the family, we are now heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Probably you got daily gleanings calendar, the choice gleanings, and yesterday you'll remember D.L. Moody said that he at one time used to teach his Sunday school children to sing, I want to be an angel. But he said, not for many years has he ever had that hymn sung, because the Christians are above the angels. Isn't that true? The Christians are above the angels. The Lord Jesus came a little lower than the angels, that he might lift us far above all the angelic hosts. He, the eternal Son of God, became the Son of Man, that we, the sons of men, might become the sons of God. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's a grand thing to be a child of God. And we're going to see something of what we've been brought into this morning as we study this all-important theme, the Christian as an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Now go back with me to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis and the 13th chapter, please. And just a little verse here. That might be an encouragement to us. Our brethren in prayer this morning reminding us of what we've been brought into because we are in Christ Jesus. Genesis 13, verse number 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Chapter 24 and verse 35. The same book, Genesis, the 24th chapter and verse 35. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become rich. Yea, he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and cattle and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And now here's the point. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. Unto him has he given all that he has. Chapter 25 and verse number 5. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, his heir. He gave all that he had unto Isaac. Now go with me please to John chapter 3. The third chapter of John's Gospel, and just notice again, Abraham is a beautiful picture of God the Father, Isaac a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus the Son. And just see what it says, please, in John 3, verse number 35. The Father loveth the Son, and has given all things into his hand. Isn't that lovely? The Father loveth the Son, and has given all things into his hand. Chapter 13, the same gospel. I want you to get these references. I want you to study them out in your own private devotion. And verse number 3. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hand. Isn't it lovely? The Father has given all things into his hand. Now remember our verse this morning, Romans 8, verse 17. Because we are children, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now I want you to think for a moment with me of this wonderful expression, a joint heir with Christ. Back in Britain, especially in Scotland, the marriage law still holds good. If a bride, the woman, has any liability, that is, if she's in debt, the husband assumes all responsibility for his bride. He cancels all the debt, wipes out all the liability. Now here's a picture. Here a couple about to be married. The husband is a multimillionaire. They're not all that across in Britain, by the way. But here we have this man, a multimillionaire. Here's the bride, and she got certain debt. And immediately, my friend, those two people are united in the bonds of holy matrimony. Straight away, that man assumes all responsibility for his bride, and she enters right in and shares everything that man's got. He can't stay now one moment longer. All these millions belong to me because they don't. She shares everything that man has. Now is that not what happened when we came to the Lord Jesus? We came in a condition of spiritual bankruptcy. We were very badly in debt. Great liabilities against us. But the question was asked, Wilt thou have this one to thy Lord and Savior, the one who loved you, proved his love by dying for you upon the cross, shedding his precious blood for you, you might be cleansed and restored to favor with God? Will you have this one to your Lord and Savior? Our heart went out and we say, Lord, I will. I only now, as my Lord, come into my heart. That moment not only did we receive him, but he received us. And today there's an indissoluble union. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. And I know this, he's canceled all the debt. He's got all the liability. And we today enter in, and we share everything that he has. Remember Eliezer, the chief servant in Abraham's household, had been sent to bring back a bride for Isaac the son. Not a very easy thing, is it, to try and choose a bride for another man? Some people try to do that, you know, and they make an awful mess of it, don't they? But here, my friend Eliezer, now, we see him going all that long way, and remember the time came when he put the acid test out. Lord, if this is the woman you want me to choose for Isaac, my master's son, when I say give me to drink, to not only say drink, but I'll give to your camels also. And of course, Rebecca was the one who came out. What happened? He's invited back to Laban's household. He tells the story. And what happens then? Remember, Rebecca's brought in. She's brought in. And the result, the question is asked, after the servant had told the story, the wonderful glowing testimony belonging to his master, and he said, my master is rich. He's very wealthy. He's great. And he went on extolling his master, all that belonged to his master. Then he said, all that belongs to my master is given to Abraham, to Isaac his son. He's given to Isaac his son. Then the question asked Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? She had a golden opportunity. She had freedom of will. And said, I will go. Now notice, she had never seen him. She only heard with the hearing of the ear. Yet she believed the testimony of the servant. We sometimes sing and delight to sing. To you who believe he is precious, whom having not seen, we love. And my friend, young Gregor's heart is strangely moved. And I will go. Now can you imagine this woman getting on the back of a camel, not a lovely Cadillac, not Daimler, nor Rolls Royce, oh no, not even a Ford, no, no. There, my friend, is on the back of this camel, and we know something about riding on the back of a camel. Not a very easy thing to do, I can tell you that. My, you know you've got liver and kidneys and bones when you've got strapped a lot on those camels' backs. Last year at this time, we were just doing that very thing. But may I pause here one moment? She leaves her own people. She leaves the land of her nativity. And she takes that long journey, about 1,500 miles. And she takes a long journey over that desert way, under a broiling eastern sun. What's going to happen? All because she believed the record, the testimony of the servant concerning his master, and the master's son. She's going wrong. And I think I hear her saying to Eliezer, tell me everything you know about him. I want to know everything about him. Now, women are rather nosy. Now, I'm quite convinced that she asked an awful lot of questions. Now, I like people who ask questions. Intelligent questions. I like people like that. It shows they're interested. And my friend, I'm sure Eliezer, he was just delighted to tell her everything he knew about his master and the heir to all his master had. They're getting very near the end of the journey, and Isaac has gone out to meditate in the field in the eventide. And lo, the camels are coming. Remember the old saw? The camels are coming, oh, remember that? Well, there's the whole thing. You see, and the camels are coming. You see? And I hear her saying to them, who is that? Who's your man? And can't you hear him saying, that's him? That's him? She get off her camel, she veiled herself, and my friend here the neck. And he took her to his mother's tent, and he was comforted. And he said, and he loved her. He loved her. The Holy Spirit, my friend, has been sought, sent forth to bring back a bride for the Son, the heavenly Isaac. Thank God this morning, he's reached us, he's wooed us, and he's won us. And as they were traveling across the desert land, my friend, the golden pillars shine before us. Friend, we're getting very near to the end of the journey. The glory shine before us. We cannot linger here. And one day along is coming out to the air. And our hearts are going to move toward him. We're going to hear his sweet voice saying, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And he's going to take us in, my friend, to the Father's house. And he's going to say, Father, I and the children you've given me, and there's not one of them missing. Isn't that lovely? There's not one of them missing. Father, they're all here. All you've given me are all here, Father. Look at them. All having my nature of light and love. Look, Father, all conformed my own blessed image. What satisfaction in the heart of the Father. What joy in the heart of the Son. What joy in the heart of the Holy Spirit. And what joy in your heart and my heart. Oh, friend, in that day we'll look back and say, why it's been worth it all. And I read the next verse in Romans chapter 8, which is saying, the sufferings of this little while are nothing to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Friends, if we suffer with him, we'll be glorified together. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Oh, what joy is our joy. No wonder we're going to sing. He and I in that bright glory, one deep joy shall share. Mine to be forever with him, his that I am there. And friend, listen, the glory of all glories will be to see him, to gaze upon that lovely face, to prostrate herself before him, and from a very heart cry, Lord, thou art worthy, and worthy alone, isn't he? Oh, 10,000 times 10,000, yes, the bride has been brought home, to meet the heavenly bridegroom. Oh, the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Now notice, we are going to share all that he has. Romans 8:17 says, we are joined heirs with Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 3 says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19 says, my God shall supply all your need, not your greed, but your need, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, not out of the abundance of his riches, but according to his riches, and there's a great difference. A great difference. Isn't it, my friend? Get the picture now. We are joint heirs with Christ. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And then it says, all my need for time present, for all eternity, met in Christ. For the verse quoted in prayer this morning, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. You know what it says there? That please the Father, that in Christ all fullness dwell. Now you might bring a great theologian, like a John Nelson Darby, a great scholar like a William Lincoln or a William Kelly. You might bring a great evangelist like a Charles Haddon, a great preacher like a Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great evangelist like a D.L. Moody. You might bring the Prince of Expositors, an Alexander McLaren. But beloved, you ask them the question, what does this mean? It please the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and they with us would bow in worship and in adoration, saying, our finite mind can't grasp the full import or the value nor the worth of that statement. It please the Father that in him all fullness dwell. No wonder Paul said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither enters the heart of man all that God prepared for them that love him. but he by his Spirit has revealed it unto us. Now notice the next verse. Colossians 2:9 says, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now are you listening carefully? Are you ready for it? And ye are complete. He looks into your heart. He looks into my heart. And he says, and ye are complete in him. We are made full in him. And all that he is before the Father, so are we today in him. Treasuring all the fullness that's treasured up in our adorable Lord Jesus. At the student conference some years ago, some folks here from the student this morning, I was laboring this line that I never forget in all my life. I was going on ministering from Psalm 84 throughout the 10 days we were there. But this particular night, a sister came up and said, you know, at the conference you mentioned that we are joint heirs with Christ. She said, I can't grasp that. I can't take it in. It's just too much for my little mind. She said, whatever do you mean? Well, she's just like this. Let's think of this little planet in which we find ourselves living. Think of all the minerals that are in the air. The nickel, the copper, the silver, the gold, the brass, the iron ore, and went on and on. Just think of all the wonderful timbers that are in the world. Just out in British Columbia alone, there are 80 different shades of green. There may be, I don't know, I know there are an awful lot of different shades of green in British Columbia. I never counted them. But he declared there were 80 different shades of green. And just think of all the cattle upon the thousand hills, looking up in the starry heavens, see all the mighty galaxies there, and said, oh, do you recognize that this little planet is one of the smallest of millions upon millions upon millions of worlds that came into being at his word? He just spoke worlds into being, and this one is one of the smallest of them all. And said, and now you tell me I'm a joint heir with Christ? He's heir to all these? And I'm a joint heir with him. Oh, she says, Jim, I am lost in wonder, love, and praise. All I can do is to adore him, to worship him, and yield my whole life entirely to him. Oh, child of God, have you come to recognize what you're being brought into as one in Christ? All the joy of being in Christ. Are you sure you're there? Is it a reality in your life? Because once you're in Christ forever. Thus the eternal common stands, and all that he is, and all the Father's given to him, we're going to share for countless ages of eternity. Ephesians chapter 1, it says the Spirit has given to us the earnest of the inheritance. Now if the earnest is so precious and so real, what's the full realization going to be? When we enter into our possession in Christ Jesus, now we know it partially. What's the full realization going to be? No wonder we sing, if this glimpse of love is so divinely sweet, what will it be above thy gladdening and smile to me? Oh dear child of God, lift up your heart. Look away from your failure. Look away from your defeat. Look away, my friend, from yourself. And look away to that lovely one. Recognize what you are because you are in Christ Jesus. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the air. Where the treasure is, there will the heart be also. And because our treasure is in heaven, let us set our affections upon the treasure, our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. All the joy being a joint heir with him. Now it says in Psalm number 16, one of my favorite psalms, proved to be such a blessing to so many during the last visit here. Many have told me they've used it in different parts as a minister of the Word of God. And I'm so glad about that. But you know what it says in Psalm 16? It says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. And also it says, I have a goodly heritage. Isn't that lovely? I have a goodly heritage. The Lord, he is the portion of my inheritance. Doesn't that do something in your heart? Doesn't that just fill you? And you look up and you say, Lord, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill. Oh, fix my eyes so wholly, Lord, on thee, that with thy beauty occupied, I elsewhere none may see. Now it is possible to have this wonderful inheritance that the dear man in South Africa, so many years ago, he lived in a shack on the edge of a great mountain. And my friend, that man died of malnutrition. He died in poverty. And yet, all that mountain belonged to him. And you know something? That man was sitting on one of the largest and the wealthiest gold mines in the world. And all that property belonged to him. But he was ignorant to all the wealth that was his. And many of God's beloved people today are ignorant to all they've been brought into as a child of God. And we're going around like spiritual paupers when we're spiritual multimillionaires. We're going around like spiritual weaklings when we're spiritual giants. Oh, may God give us grace to enter in and possess our possessions. An illustration, alas, it is borrowed. Someone referred to Mr. Harold Harper last night, that dear child of God. Everybody told the story with great effect. Sailing down through the beautiful blue Mediterranean water was a cruiser. Now, aboard that cruiser, of course, were many passengers. One of the passengers taking with him packages of crackers and cream cheese. He did not want to be hungry while he was on that cruise. 2 days sailing. One of the other passengers went up to him, "How are you getting on?" "Oh, we're having a wonderful time, wonderful sailing weather. But it says those crackers and cream cheese are getting rather stale." "Crackers and cream cheese?" Said, "Man, aren't you going down to have your meals in the dining room?" "Oh, no, I can't afford that." So he said, "I brought some crackers and cream cheese with me. I didn't want to be hungry." Then the man said, "You can't afford it." He said, "My, we're having 4 courses for breakfast. Many as 7 we're having for lunch, and as many as 9 we're having for dinner. Oh, you should come down." "Yes, I know. Every time I pass by the dining room, that smell comes out, makes me feel ever so hungry, and I'm just sorry I can't afford to indulge." The other man looked and said, "Haven't you got your ticket?" "Oh, yes, I got my ticket, all right." "Well," he said, "don't you know all your meals are included in your ticket?" He says, "Pardon?" "Say, don't you know all your meals are included in your ticket? Now, you know what happened to the crackers and cream cheese, don't you?" They just went overboard, and he went down margin, every one of them stuck in the next meal. Now, we smother that man's simplicity. You may call it stupidity, but, oh, dear child of God, aren't we just like that man? Eh? We get taken up with crackers and cream cheese, little snippets here, little snippets there. We're under one conference and one convention after the other, one side of the country, the other side. We go with a little bucket, and you know, oh, it's wonderful. This is wonderful ministry. Hallelujah. We got a wonderful Lord. He's just so what? When's the next conference? When's the next convention? But all the time, children of God, you could have in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You can have this, my friend, down the south, back north, wherever we be from. We can have a continual conference, a continual revival. Why? As we would yield to the indwelling Holy Spirit, He would make all this real to us, bring us into our possessions in Christ Jesus. When I use an expression, you say it's from the Bible, oh yes. Obadiah chapter 17, verse 17 says, "Possess your possessions." Let us go in, my friends, and appropriate all that is ours in our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. It's a grand thing to be an heir, a joint heir with Christ. Isn't it now? The wonder of it all. All the Father has, He has given to the Son. And because we are in the Son, accepted in the Beloved, so all that are His, we share. We are joint heirs with Christ. I wonder, do we know the joy of this? Are we in the good of it? Oh yes, thank God, I know my sins are forgiven. I know I've been cleansed from every sin of sin. Thank God I know I'm on my way to heaven. Is that all the lens you've got? Got no further than that? Do we know the joy, my friend, of that holy moment by moment communing with Him, recognizing He's the very life of our life, every moment of every day? Not just that we're coming to it here and now, He's the very life of our life. Friend, I want you to get this morning. The Lord Himself is our purity. The Lord Himself is our power. The Lord Himself is our pardon. The Lord Himself is our holiness. The Lord Himself is our victory. The Lord Himself is our justification. The brother prayed, He is our sanctification. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our redemption. He is our love. He is our light. He is our life. He is our liberty. Friend, He's just actually everything to us. And He wants us moment by moment to appropriate Him as such. Is it purity? He is purity. Is it power? He is power. Is it grace? He is grace. Everything God has for us is treasured up in His beloved Son. But He wants us moment by moment to appropriate whatever the need at that very moment. Ask the Lord to be that very thing to you. Is it patience? He is your patience. Is it love? He is your love. Oh, how impatient we get. How irritable we get. How easily provoked we get. Oh, you see, when my wife prays for patience, the Lord usually sends me home. Because tribulation worketh patience. But it's not quite as bad as all that, really. There's the whole thing, you see. But if we need peace, what happens? You see? Oh, I can't help it. I just drop off the deep end. I blow my top so fast. Now listen, it's just in that very moment, you've got to look up and say, Lord, thy patience, take over, Lord. And it's amazing how you find the Lord taking over right there. Love, that very person that rubs you up the wrong way, you still have to thank God for them, you know. Why? Because God may be using them as sandpaper to polish you up. You see? That person loves you, Lord. Oh, love her, not me. Love him. I couldn't possibly love him. Now listen, just then you say, Lord, love them through me. Lord, you're my love. It's amazing, my friend, what you will find the Lord Himself doing through you as you appropriate Him as the life of your life. You're in Christ, and Christ by His Spirit now lives in you. Have you learned the secret? We're reconciled to God by the death of His Son, but we are being saved by His life. His resurrection life is not our life. We're going to deal with that one of these days. Now I want you to think of it now. We're a joint heir with Christ. All the Father's given to the Son, we share with Him here and now. It says, remember in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, reign with Christ in life now. Not just in the coming day. We will, but here and now reign with Christ in life over sin. Romans 6 verse 14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And the Titan Pope says in his chorus, oh, what a glorious message, and it's true. God has said it. It must stand. Pass it on. It's simply grand. Sin shall not have dominion over you. The sin principle is there and will be there at the end of the chapter. But sin must not reign in our mortal body. And remember that we shall reign in life over sin. Reign in life over circumstances. What does it say in Romans chapter 8 verse 37? We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Isn't that precious now? Verse number 36 says that same chapter, verse 35 rather, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I am persuaded, said the old warrior, neither death nor life to extreme states, nor power, principalities, nor power, superhuman intelligences, things present, things to come, all time which is ours, heights of depth, the dimensions of space, nor power of any other creature, celestial, terrestrial, or infernal, in heaven, or earth, or hell, angels, men, or demons, no power, nor any creature, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Amen? Oh, the joy of recognizing, my friend, we are in Christ. In Christ, let the wonder of it come over your spirit life this morning. Look up and say, Lord, I can't quite understand all this, but Lord, I believe with all my heart. Lord, I am Thee. In Thee and Thou art in me, Lord, you're the very life of my life. And now I can say triumphantly, we are more than conquerors. Where? It's through Him that loved us. So in Christ, we're reigning with him in life over sin. Same as Christ in life over circumstances, in the circumstances, but never under them. Two evangelist men in Scotland some years ago, one said that, how are you, my brother? We said, I'm not so bad under the circumstances. What in heaven are you doing there? In them, but never under them. Isn't that true? We are reigning with Christ in life over our circumstances. And lastly, Romans 16, verse number 20. What does it say? Reigning with Christ in life over satanic influence. I want you to get these 3 points. They'll be a blessing to you. One, reigning with Christ in life over sin. Reigning with Christ in life over circumstances. Reigning with Christ in life over Satan. Romans 16, 20 says, and shall tread Satan under your feet. Whose feet? The feet of the saints. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Some years ago, quite a number of years ago, in the home of Lady Powers Court, a lot of those great celebrities and great theologians of that present day, and we're talking about the various members of the body, and all sincerity are saying, one would like to be an arm, another would like to be a hand, another would like to be an eye, no one like to be a foot and so on. One dear old lady sitting there never opened her mouth. So the man I referred to a moment ago, John Nelson Darby, said to her, my dear sister, you're in the body, what would you like to be? Oh, she said, I would like to be a heel. I would like to be a heel. Said, why is that? Well, it said, he's going to tread Satan under his heel. I would like to give him such a smashing. If you'd like to be a heel. Dear child of God, where are you this morning, eh? Thank God we're in the body. And we're in Christ. And we're joint heirs with Christ. Oh, the joy of recognizing us this morning. D.L. Moody said in a little note yesterday, we are more than angels or higher than angels. And he said, you know, the Rothschild family of America are so wealthy, no computer can compute the wealth belongs to them. And he says, I'm so wealthy in Christ, I joint heir in Christ. Oh, he said, my inheritance is just so real and so beautiful, I can't even begin to imagine what belongs to me. Do you know what belongs to you because you're in Christ? The wonder of it all. But it's just wonderful. Now I've got to give you an acrostic as I draw to close, that I wish I were just starting. And this is in the capital H-E-I-R, still spells air. And so now know this, because we're near, this is a heavenly calling. It's a heavenly inheritance. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1. It is a heavenly calling, is a heavenly inheritance. And then remember, in Timothy, the first chapter, and chapter 1 and verse number 9, it is a holy inheritance. Holy. And we're called with a holy calling. And then remember, in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14, is a high calling. It is a high inheritance. And the spiritual, this heavenly, this holy, this high inheritance is all ours. Because we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Let the wonder of it come over you, my friend, right now. Just think what you've been brought into. Oh, how wealthy you are. And again, E, it is an eternal inheritance. It says, remember in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 15, he is the one who by the eternal Spirit has obtained an eternal redemption for us, as also has obtained for us an eternal inheritance. I like this, don't you? It is an eternal inheritance, not just for time present, but for all eternity. We're going to share with him all the Father has given into his hand. And I, it is an incorruptible inheritance. Remember it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse number 4, is given to us an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, going back over the tree now, incorruptible, it is death proof.
never touch it. Satan can never destroy it.
Sometimes, you know, you leave your will. You leave your
inheritance, my friend, to your son and heir or your daughter, heiress, whatever the case may be. But once the lawyer and all these others, unless you left your will, in a way, it's all what having to do with it, whatever. And I trust you to put that pretty straight, by the way. Eh? It's good to be sure about that, you know. In the light of eternity. Whatever's up. You know, sometimes, you know, they're done out of it. They're done out of it. Somebody else comes along and makes a claim here. I'm going to claim it. And my friend, the one who's the heir to it all, unless your will's been done properly and is in order, they lose out. One thing I like about this inheritance, no one can rob me of it. You know why? Because the one who gave it to me arose from the dead to see I wasn't done out of it. Isn't that good? I go slow because I wouldn't get that. The one who left it to me has risen from the dead to be perfectly clear that no one will rob me of it. The one who died now lives and lives in a part of an endless life. So is it death-proof? And then, it is undefiled, it is dust-proof. The dust will never settle upon this inheritance. And then it's decay-proof. It fades not away. Get those three D's, and you go back over them. They'll be a blessing to you. It's death-proof, it's incorruptible. It's dust-proof, it's undefiled. It's decay-proof, it fades not away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. The same word that is there is the word kept. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So there you have it. First of all, this inheritance to which we have heirs is a heavenly, holy, high inheritance. It is, beloved, an eternal inheritance. It is an incorruptible inheritance that are. It is a royal inheritance. Brother, go back to Genesis 5 and verse 34. It is our royal inheritance. It is an inheritance we get from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then again, it is our rich inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1 verse number 18 speaks about the riches of glory, which is our inheritance in Christ. Then it is a rewarding inheritance, because the inheritance given to the saint in light. We are good back. It is heavenly. It is holy. It is high. It is eternal. It is incorruptible. It is royal. It is rich. It is rewarding. Now this can all be yours, because this morning you are in Christ. Aren't you glad you are in Christ? And just as the letter is in the envelope and sealed, as the coney hides in the rock, as Noah and all his family are in the ark, safe and secure, so the Bible says, there is therefore now no judgment for them that are in Christ Jesus. And we're going to sing now 265. 265. Grand little hymn. Thank you for your rapt attention, and we trust the Lord bless his word to you, and that you'll possess your possessions this morning in Christ Jesus, and be much in prayer regarding the meeting today. If we can be of any help to anyone, don't be afraid to talk to us. We're here to help you. Anyone you'd like us to visit, then do make it known to us too. We'll only be too happy to go and see them. 265, complete in thee. Thank you. All together.
Complete in thee the work of mine, taking the Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood has passed, done what for me. Salvation wrought, thy blood has harmed, it does not for me.
The last one, shall we, verse 3?
Complete in thee, each one sublime, and never came to the eating eye. Say, thou my son, shall God will see, I am the Lord, complete in thee.
We thank thee, blessed Father, for the divine revelation through the Holy Scripture in the energy of the Holy Spirit thou hast given us this morning of our beloved Lord Jesus. And we thank thee for that revelation that we are complete in him. Help us, O God, to recognize the value and the import of this as we journey throughout this day. Keep us, O God, walking as the aristocracy of heaven. Heaven down here on the campus, heaven in the city, heaven in the home, heaven in the office, for where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Oh God, bless this company, we pray. Thou knowest the heart of each one bowed before thee, the longings, the yearnings, may thy great desire be wrought out in all of our lives. Now part with thy blessing, order our conversation, keep us in the hollow of thy hand, may we walk before thee, in the land of the living. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer, to whom be glory both now and forevermore. Amen.